Welcome to Tech and Law Insights. I'm your host, Rupa, co-founder at Lurie. Today, I'm excited to have Harun, Chief Technology Officer at Lurie, joining us. His journey in legal technology began even before joining. Harun Diri is a seasoned 3E technical expert with over 20 years of software architecture experience, specializing in legal technology systems, customizing them, upgrades, and implementation. Before founding his own consulting firm, Harun served nearly two decades at Thomson Reuters Elite, where he contributed extensively as a software architect to the development of enterprise solutions for the legal industry. Thank you for joining us today, Harun.
Thanks for having me, Rupa. Very excited to be here.
Awesome. Let's dive right into your insights and experiences. You have deep experience in the field of technology intersecting with legal. Can you tell us a bit about your experience as a lead software engineer and solutions architect for legal firms? What projects have you been involved in, and what was your role there?
Yes, of course. As you mentioned, my journey in legal tech started nearly 20 years ago when I joined the company that developed 3E, which is a widely used ERP system for large law firms. I began as a software engineer and eventually became a solution architect there, focusing on designing and building the core platform. Over two decades, I worked on making 3E a highly customizable system that handled everything from billing and accounting to financial management, ensuring it met the evolving needs of law firms. My expertise lies in designing robust and customizable software architecture, specifically tailored to the intricate operational needs of legal businesses. Mm-hmm. I was responsible for ensuring the system not only addressed the unique challenges of law firms' operations, but also provided the flexibility to adapt to diverse firm structures and evolving industry practices. After leaving that company, I leveraged my expertise to launch my own consulting business, where I became an implementation partner for my former employer, Thomson Reuters Elite. In this role, I helped law firms implement and optimize their use of 3E, and I created custom workflows and integrations that connected the systems with third-party software, significantly improving operational efficiency.
That's really cool and very extensive. Before joining Lurie, you were already vectorizing and building your own vector database of Turkish case law. And what inspired you to start this project? And how has your experience with Turkish case law informed your work on our products at Lurie?
Yes. Basically, after almost 4 years in consulting, I was looking for a new challenge. And that's also because my consulting work wasn't providing me the volume I had hoped for, which pushed me to explore new avenues where I could apply my technical expertise. Around that time, AI was also like exploding and rapidly gaining traction. Mm-hmm. And it became clear to me that this was a major shift in technology. So I wanted to stay ahead of the curve. So I made it a priority to learn AI and understand its real-world applications use. So the inspiration came from my own experiences and discussions with colleagues in Turkish legal community, where I had a lot of friends. Some of them were lawyers. So I realized that the legal professionals in Turkey often spend a lot of time manually researching precedents. Sure. Yeah, since I'm Turkish, I wanted to leverage emerging AI capabilities like semantic search to streamline case law research. So I decided to build a web application focused on semantic search for case precedents. To do this, I collected publicly available court opinions, vectorized them, and leveraged AI to generate legal briefs for these cases. Nice. This project was really about making relevant case law more accessible to lawyers in Turkey, allowing them to conduct research more efficiently. It also became a hands-on learning journey that helped me understand all aspects of AI, you know, from data collection and pre-processing to vector databases, semantic search, and natural language generation. I also had to do like fine-tuning along the way as well for some small language models. Working with Turkish case law gave me invaluable experience in handling legal data and applying AI in legal contexts, which directly transferred to my work at Lurie.
Vector databases are becoming increasingly important in legal tech, and it's really inspiring how you dive right in and kind of use your experience to do all of these different things leveraging vector databases. How do you see them shaping the future of legal research and analysis?
Yes, vector databases are really revolutionizing legal research by enabling semantic search capabilities that go far beyond traditional keyword searches. Mm-hmm. In the legal field where nuance and context are very crucial, this technology allows professionals to find relevant cases and precedents based on conceptual similarity rather than just matching like keywords and terms. So I believe vector databases will fundamentally change how legal professional approaches work. Rather than spending hours manually reviewing potential relevant documents, lawyers will be able to quickly identify the most pertinent cases and precedents with much higher accuracy. Looking ahead, I see these databases enabling more sophisticated legal analytics, helping firms identify trends in judicial decisions, predict case outcomes, and develop more effective legal strategies. They will also make legal information more accessible to those without extensive legal training, potentially democratizing access to legal knowledge. The integration of vector databases with large language models, as we are doing at Lurie, represents the next evolution, not just finding relevant information, but synthesizing them and presenting it to the end users in useful formats for different use cases.
Thank you for that informative answer, Harun. And with respect to different use cases, how does your perspective as a solutions architect, someone who understands the broader strategic and architectural implications, how does your perspective as a solutions architect influence the way you approach legal AI and legal tech development? How do you ensure that these systems are not only technically sound, but also optimally designed for the specific needs and challenges of legal professionals?
Right. So my background as a solutions architect has taught me to always start with the end user's needs and work backwards to the technology. In legal tech, this means deeply understanding how lawyers, law students, and researchers actually work before designing solutions, right? So I approach system design with both technical and domain-specific considerations in mind. Legal professionals have unique workflows and requirements that must be respected. They need systems that are not only powerful, but also intuitive and aligned with their existing processes. For instance, when designing our products at Lurie, I'm constantly thinking about how the technology will integrate into a lawyer's daily workflow. How will it save them time? How can we ensure accuracy while maintaining efficiency? These considerations shape architectural decisions from database design to user interface. So I've also learned that in legal tech, there's no room for error. The consequences of inaccurate information can be significant. So we build multiple validation layers and quality checks into our systems. This commitment to reliability is a direct result of my experience architecting mission-critical systems for law firms.
Right. And your experience has been so instrumental to Lurie in our launch and subsequent releases of Briefcase. Could you please share some of the challenges and breakthroughs you've encountered during the development of Briefcase?
Of course. Yeah. In Briefcase, it's been a very exciting journey for me. Developing Briefcase presented several unique challenges. For instance, one of them, and I think in my opinion, the most important one was the user interface that would be intuitive for both law students and experienced attorneys. These groups have different needs and levels of expertise. So creating a system that served both effectively required multiple iterations and extensive user experience. So we put ourselves in our users' shoes and gathered feedback from test users, which was invaluable in refining the interface. Each iteration brought us closer to an optimal design, and then we balanced simplicity with powerful functionality. Another significant challenge was ensuring the accuracy and structure of the AI-generated briefs. Legal briefs follow specific formats that require precise information. We invested considerable amount of effort in developing well-crafted system prompts for our LLMs to improve accuracy and ensure properly structured outputs. Another challenge and critical breakthrough was emerged when we recognized the need for a distinct strategy for chat conversations. We initially discovered that directly answering user questions in isolation often resulted in responses that lacked necessary context and that they were also less effective. To remedy this, we adopted an agentic approach, which basically involved developing a system that could intelligently retrieve relevant context from our legal knowledge base, informed both by user current question and the history of their preceding questions with conversations. This contextual information is then provided into the LLM, leading to more pertinent and helpful responses. The most rewarding aspect has been seeing how Briefcase has evolved from its initial concept to a tool that genuinely helps legal professionals and law students save time and improve their analysis.
Yeah, everything you mentioned has certainly improved Briefcase output and user experience. As the primary technologist behind Complainer, a complaint generating tool developed by Lurie, and BlueCite, a legal citation generating tool also developed by you at Lurie, how do you approach building legal tech products that cater to both lawyers and technologists?
That's a great question. Yeah, because it highlights a key aspect of successful legal tech, with Complainer and BlueCite, and really all of our products, we aim to bridge that gap between legal expertise and technology. Building tools like Complainer and BlueCite that serve both legal professionals and technologists require a careful balancing act. My approach has been to focus on creating products with multiple layers, an accessible, intuitive interface that legal professionals can use without technical expertise, and a backend by sophisticated technology that meets the standards technologists' expectations.
Right.
For Complainer, which helps generate legal complaints, we faced challenges with providing large knowledge bases in context without overwhelming the LLM. Our breakthrough came when we implemented an agent-based approach that breaks down the knowledge base into smaller, more manageable pieces based on user input. We also found that fine-tuning LLM models on domain-specific data sets significantly improved the results. With BlueCite, which handles citation creation and validation, precision is paramount. We again use the agentic approach to manage complex citation rules and formatting requirements. The key was to make the complex simple, handling all the technical complexities behind the scenes while providing users with clear, straightforward interactions. I found that successful legal tech development requires constant dialogue between technical teams and legal experts. This collaboration ensures we are building tools that not only work technically, but also fit seamlessly into legal workflows.
And that's very helpful, Harun, for technologists who want to work in this space. And you are an individual who has built a lot of legal technology to help optimize legal processes. So kind of looping back to my first question about your experience, can you speak to what you've built in the past for us?
Yes. Throughout my career, I focused on building technology that addresses specific pain points in legal processes. At the ERP software company, I helped design and build a highly customizable platform for 3E, which transformed how large firms manage their operations from billing and accounting to comprehensive financial management. As a consultant, I specialized in implementing custom workflows and integrations for law firms using 3E. These integrations connected the ERP system with third-party software, creating seamless operational flows that eliminated redundant data entry and manual processes. One particularly impactful project was my Turkish case precedent search application, which was basically I collected publicly available court opinions, vectorized them, and built an AI system that could provide precedent cases, case searches, and generate legal briefs for those cases. These significantly reduced the time lawyers spent on research and case analysis. And now at Lurie, with Briefcase, Complainer, and BlueCite, we're focused on optimizing key legal workflows from case briefing and legal document generation to citation management. Everything I built has been driven by a desire to leverage technology to make legal processes more efficient, accurate, and accessible to pretty much, you know, all legal industry. It's about empowering legal professionals with tools that enhance their capabilities and free them up to focus on strategic and client-facing aspects of their work. Yeah, well, that's pretty much it.
Well, all of these projects yield major efficiency gains for lawyers in practice. However, my next question to you is, how do you as a technologist balance the need for innovation with the often conservative nature of the legal industry when you're developing new features?
Right. That's a good question. Balancing innovation with the conservative nature of the legal industry is indeed very challenging. My approach has always been like to introduce innovation incrementally, focusing first on pain points that legal professionals universally recognize. I found that demonstrating clear value is essential. So legal professionals are often skeptical of new technology, but they are also open to the solutions that demonstrably save time, reduce errors, or provide insights they could they couldn't easily obtain otherwise. For instance, with Briefcase, we focused on showing how much time could be saved in case analysis while maintaining or improving quality. Another key aspect is ensuring reliability and accuracy. The legal field has zero tolerance for errors.
Yeah.
So any innovation must be thoroughly tested and validated before release. This means building multiple validation layers into our systems, and extensive testing with actual legal content is a key. I also believe in involving legal professionals throughout the development process. Their feedback helps us refine features to better match their workflows and address their specific concerns about new technology. Ultimately, successful innovation in legal tech requires patience. It's about building trust and gradually by delivering consistently reliable tools that respect legal traditions while introducing new capabilities.
Do you have any advice, Haran, for folks who don't have a law degree like yourself, but are deeply interested in technology and building tools for the legal space?
Yes. For those without a law degree who want to build legal tech tools, my first piece of advice is to collaborate closely with legal professionals or law students. Their insight into workflows, pain points, and requirements are invaluable. They can find lawyers willing to provide regular feedback and guidance. Their domain expertise will help you avoid common pitfalls. Second, take time to learn basic of legal research, reasoning, and writing. While you don't need a law degree, understanding how legal professionals think and work make a significant difference in creating useful tools. Third, I would focus on like solving specific problems rather than relying to revolutionize the entire legal system at once. You know, identify particular pain points in legal workflows where technology can make a meaningful difference and start there, basically. Also, be patient with adoption. The legal industry changes slowly, and building trust is an essential thing. Ensure your tools are reliable, secure, and compliant with relevant regulations before bringing them to market. Finally, stay humble about what you don't know. Legal practice involves complex nuances that may not be immediately obvious to technologists. Be open to learning and adjusting your understanding as you go deeper into the field. So that's basically my advice.
Well, this is really great advice for folks who are interested in building in the space, including me. I know I can reflect back on this. My next question for you is another piece of advice that I would personally also like to hear from you. How do you stay updated with the latest advancements in AI and machine learning, particularly as they relate to this space, legal technology?
Yes, for me, it's like always a continuing learning process. I dedicate a lot of my time regularly for reading research papers in AI and NLP, especially those focused on legal applications. I attend webinars to hear from experts and see the latest innovations. I leverage more informal learning channels as well. Watching YouTube videos related to the latest AI advancements provides a very valuable overview of current trends for me. Following the key researches and throughout thought leaders on social media and through their publication is also very helpful in staying informed about ongoing discussions and emerging ideas within the field. I also make sure to experiment with new technologies and models. For instance, I personally have like a GPU server at my home, in my home, and I like play with small language models where I sometimes fine-tune them and get, you know, benchmark results from them, or I experiment for different techniques with the new language models. So basically, I constantly explore new advancements and assert how they can be applied to enhance our products and solve new challenges in legal space. It's a mix and formal learning and industry engagement and hands-on experimentation, pretty much. Yeah.
That's seriously so cool. Looking ahead, Harun, what emerging technologies or trends in legal tech are you personally most excited about?
Yes, especially like AI's advancements in the world currently. I'm very excited about how the generative AI and the natural language processing are evolving. I'm particularly excited about several emerging trends in legal tech as well. The continued evolution of large language models, specifically the ones that are like maybe fine-tuned for legal applications, are very promising as well, and which we are also like leveraging this technology by fine-tuning some of these models as well. So as those, as these models become more specialized, their ability to understand legal nuances and generate accurate and sometimes even jurisdiction-specific content will transform how legal professionals work.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm also watching the development of the multi-model AI systems that can process and analyze both text and visual information. This could revolutionize document review, allowing for automated analysis of contracts and complex layouts, handwritten notes, or embedded diagrams. Another exciting area is the integration of legal tech tools into comprehensive workflows. Basically, rather than isolated point solutions, we're moving toward interconnected systems that support the entire legal process from client intake to case resolution. So these are very exciting things that are happening in the technology. So basically, the democratization of legal services through technology is perhaps the most exciting from a societal perspective.
Mm-hmm.
AI-powered tools like our Complainer have the potential to make legal remedies more accessible to people who couldn't otherwise afford legal representation. And finally, I'm following developments in AI closely. As legal tech becomes more powerful, the ability to understand and validate AI reasoning will be crucial for maintaining trust and meeting ethical standards in the legal profession.
And Harun, this is really amazing advice for technologists, for even lawyers who want to understand a bit more about AI and how this technology will change their workflows. I just want to kind of ask a summarizing question. You have been deeply involved in multiple successful product launches. Can you give us a final piece of summary advice that you would give to aspiring legal technology developers?
Of course, yes. So my main advice would be to be like user-centric from day one. Focus on solving real problems for legal professionals. Don't get too caught up in the technology itself, but rather focus on the value you're delivering to the user. Collaborate closely with legal professionals throughout the development process. That's a, you know, very key point. Get their feedback early and often, and be willing to iterate based on their input. Don't be afraid to start small and iterate. Legal tech is a complex domain, so it's often better to build a minimum viable product, get it into users' hand, and then build from there, and be persistent. Building successful legal tech products takes time, effort, and deep understanding of the legal domain. But it is also incredibly rewarding to build tools that can truly make a positive impact on the legal profession and access to justice.
Thank you for that, Harun. This concludes our illuminating and very inspiring conversation with Harun, Chief Technology Officer and Lead Technologist behind Lurie's groundbreaking products. Harun's journey from independently vectorizing Turkish case law to spearheading the development of Lurie's tools offers valuable insights into the world of legal tech innovation. Thank you, Harun, for sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you so much, Rupa. It was very exciting for me.
Thank you, Harun. I'm certainly excited to hopefully have you back in the future as a future guest speaker. And to our listeners, remember that the future of legal technology lies in the hands of pioneers like Harun, others, and even yourself, who can bridge the gap between law and cutting-edge technology. This is Rupa, signing off from Tech and Law Insights. Until next time, keep innovating and pushing the boundaries of what's possible in legal tech.